It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. We're here live, WBDGM here, Max Gilly, Lucas McKee for a Tuesday edition of the Sports Spotlight. Today we're going to be reviewing the NFL games that happened this past weekend. Colts finally taking home a big dub against the Chiefs and a very upset win. You know, they lose two divisional games to two bottom-tier teams, and they beat one of the top teams in the league.
One of the top offenses in the league, at least, that is.
Yeah. But overall, one of the top offenses, if not the top.
Yeah.
But one of the best overall teams. I know the defense is not the greatest in the league, but overall, they are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to review those, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA.
Training camp finally starting.
Training camp today, media day yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you see the one Bucks player who had like the gold Jordans on?
I didn't see Bucks media day. No. I haven't, not yet.
There was a Bucks player who had like gold Jordans on, and Curry had like Sour Patch Kids Curry's on.
I tell you what, I saw Zion Williams yesterday, and he looks ready to go.
He always looks ready to go.
Yeah, but he looks like in the best health and shape he's been.
It's funny with him because like you'll go online and it's like Williamson dunking 360 on the soft court at New Orleans training facility, and he's like doing some 360 between the legs blindfolded backwards dunk. And then he gets on the court and then he's injured.
Yeah. He tweeted, he said Duke Zion is back or something like that.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign. So
pre ankle blowout.
Yeah,
was it Achilles blowout?
I think it was. It was.
Something like that. Very gruesome injury. But yeah, let's get right into the show. The Steelers and the Browns on Thursday Night Football. The Browns ended up winning that game. Now it was closer than that. They didn't have the last second lateral that led to the fumble touchdown. That happened. But the Steelers won that one. The Dolphins 3-0 in the AFC, three and zero in the league. They're the only AFC team that's still undefeated, alongside the
NFC.
Why can I not think of the NFC?
Eagles.
The Eagles. Yeah.
NFC. The Eagles.
I couldn't think for some reason.
The Alabama boys are 3-0.
Yeah.
Except Mac Jones or Daniel Jones, he's 2-1. But
no, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. That's what I meant. I said yeah. Daniel. I said Daniel. Jones.
Danny Dimes. But the Bills getting upset there. But the Bills, I still think, are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, whenever they have their roster back. They were missing at least 10 starters last game, and I believe that's probably why they lost. They had two rookies starting at quarterback. I think I've said this, and they had two other players that were second-year players. So
sometimes you can work with what you got.
Yeah, exactly, and that offense really, really, really burnt their defense. But also, that Tua coming back in that game, he should not. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He did take the nasty hit and
stood back up, shook his head like he could just walk it off, and then almost fell back down. But they ruled it a back injury, and he got back in the game.
Yeah, he definitely.
They mistreated has a concussion. That's not something he should go back into the game with. That's something NFL should.
And I think that's what the NFL has been struggling with. I know they've gotten a lot better with the aftermath of football with CTE and everything like that, but I think that's the big thing the NFL is struggling with right now is head injuries. I know you want to keep your players in the game, but if he's falling down, getting back up, and then falling down again.
That's exactly CTE right there, exactly how it starts, and it's not good.
The Bengals taking down the Jets 27-12. Titans beating the Raiders 24-22. So the AFC South minus the...
The AFC South destroyed the AFC West minus the Broncos, or the Texans, because they played the Bears.
They played the Bears,
but everybody else beat everyone else in the AFC West.
The Raiders, the only 0-3 team in the league.
Yep.
The Titans have had a lot of close games this year, though. That's been one of the main things I've noticed, other than, of course, Buffalo.
I think this year, actually, there's been 18-plus games already that's been decided by three or fewer points. So,
does the Colts game count?
Yeah.
In week one?
I think so. I don't know. Three or fewer. So
0 points.
0 point difference tied, yeah.
The Panthers beating the Saints 22-14. The Ravens beating the Patriots 37-26. That was a pretty good game there. The Vikings taking down the Lions 28-24.
With the last second touchdown. That was also another great comeback.
Great comeback there. The Eagles flat out just dominating the Commanders 24-8.
Negative 16 passing yards for Carson Wentz.
That's a
fun stat. Yeah. What did
guess who has Carson Wentz on their team? He was on my bench. This is a dumb decision on my part. I take full blame for this one. I dropped Rodgers, picked up Wentz because I thought it was going to work out, and then he put up negative 16 yards.
Yep, that's the
that's what it's called, fantasy football. Yeah. Fantasy football.
Yeah.
Clearly, we don't need to use you as our fantasy expert.
And then, Rodgers won.
Yeah. So. The Colts beating the Chiefs 20-17, getting the first win on the season with a last-second touchdown by Jelani Woods. We'll get into that in a little bit there. The Bears beating the Texans 23-20. Former Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus 2-1 in Chicago. The Chargers losing to the Jaguars 38-10. The Jaguars could be...
sleeper team.
They could be a sleeper team this year. We thought they were going to be bottom of the division.
They spent all that money on Christian Kirk, and Trevor Lawrence is actually looking like the first round pick.
Well, I mean, we talked with Mr. Easter a little earlier this year on here just about how we thought the Jaguars were going to be a better team this year, but just not as good as they have.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I said they're going to be better. They have Christian Kirk. They got a couple of key defensive pieces in there that would help, and then their free agent pickups. But I didn't think they were going to be blowing out the Chargers 38-10, and then definitely also the Colts 24-0. Like, so I mean, I'm excited also to see what the Jags hold then.
Hopefully it'll be a bit of a closer matchup next time these two face, and maybe it'll be a bit more fun.
It'll be in Indy, so I know the crowd will be really, really loud and will help. So
yeah, definitely it'll be.
And Shaq Leonard should be back on that team. It's looking like he should be back this week, but we've been saying that since week one, and they just keep rolling him out.
I mean, it'd be a good time to come back.
And he against the Tennessee Titans, he looks healthy on that sideline, but I guess we'll find out this week.
The Rams taking down the Cardinals in Arizona 20-12. The Packers just inching out the Buccaneers 14-12. That was definitely a close game.
Some controversy in that game, too, with the Jumbotron person. I don't know if you saw that. You didn't?
No.
Well, Aaron Rodgers was getting, like, a little post-game interview right, like, on the field, and he was complaining about how the Jumbotron person showed something, like, before they should have showed it, and then Aaron Rodgers was able to refer that information back to his sideline, which apparently won the Packers the game.
Oh.
And a lot of people were saying that it's because of him thinking that it was just Tom Brady going down with the bringing the play clock all the way down to one and then just not having delay a game called. So, but I guess the Pat McAfee show said they'll go more into that today, and we'll find out what actually happened there.
Yeah, and the Buccaneers moving down to Miami right now to practice in the midst
down?
Of... Excuse me. Yeah, down to Miami, south. Got me second-guessing myself.
Yep.
Going down to Miami to practice as the midst of Hurricane Ian is supposed to go right through Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, you could call it.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. But I think that they're going to go down there, but you never know where it's going to hit. So it could hit the stadium. It could not. Might float that Jolly Roger out there, but that wouldn't be good. The Falcons beating the Seahawks 27-23. The Seahawks had that win against the Broncos in week one. And it was, you know, you beat Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, but they're just not looking too good right now.
I guess the Seahawks just need to be put on, like, national TV in order to win.
I don't know, but that game was really boring. 10-11.
Yeah, talk about boring. 11.
And
Broncos
Jimmy
11,
G stepped out of the end zone.
The Dan Orlovsky play.
Yeah, he was happy to see that. Yeah.
as said to be one of the most bonehead plays in NFL history.
And then I think it was really ironic too, because then Mark Sanchez tweeted about the butt punt. Yeah, he was like, "Don't take my thing." And then now it's like, who did it better, butt fumble or butt punt? So
I thought the butt fumble was funny. Can you believe that was 10 years ago?
I know. I was like, the butt fumble was obviously
like,
funny.
5 years ago.
Because he ran into his quarter, or his lineman, but the kicker, he had no space, and it was... Yeah. It was.
Well, I saw the thing, though, on the butt fumble, and it was like, that was like 5 years ago, right? I look it up, it was 2012. I'm like, what?
Wow.
It's crazy.
Time flies.
But Sunday Night Football, we got a thriller going. 11-10 Broncos win. Defensive matchup. Max, you're happy as a Broncos fan.
Let's go, Broncos country, 2-1. It's
exciting. I thought he was
going to
say, let's ride.
Let's ride. No, too close, not a fun game whatsoever. Once again, just the Broncos are still disappointing. But hey, they actually won this time on national TV, so that's good.
Yeah, definitely a good win for the Broncos to get on national TV against the 49ers. And the Cowboys, beating the Giants 23-16. Just not a great performance by the Giants.
I mean, no, their offensive line looked terrible. Daniel Jones was pressured 24 times, I think, sacked like 8 or 9. That's not acceptable. It was a good game until the fourth quarter, and then I mean, actually, the whole thing was a good game, because when Saquon took the lead, and then the Cowboys marched down the field to tie the game back up, and then they got the ball back, scored the touchdown and the interception. It was a good game, but I didn't see it ending like that. There was a few controversial calls, though, against the Giants or against the Cowboys that I don't think should have been called. There was a pass interference in the back of the end zone that should have put them at first and goal, but instead it set them up for a field goal and made it 6-3 instead of them going up 10-3.
You want to talk about terrible offensive line?
No one's worse than those Giants right there, though.
Oh, no, they're the worst. No. They're the worst team in the NFL. Definitely not worse than the highest-paid offensive line in the league right now.
Oh, yeah, well.
The highest-paid offensive line performing, honestly, like one of the worst in the NFL right now, the Indianapolis Colts.
Matt Ryan has 1.6 seconds of time in the pocket, and that's the lowest he's ever had. He was having 2.2, 2.1, 2.0, 2.3 in Atlanta. Now he has 1.6 this year. So something's going to have to change there. Some changes are going to have to move at tackle position. Brandon Smith is not doing his job. I think really the only person doing their job is Q.
And I think that the person that's actually hurting the Colts right now the most is Ryan Kelly.
Yeah, he
playing center.
Yeah, he didn't pick up those blitzes.
You're the leader of the offensive line. You're reading stuff. You're the play caller on the offensive line and stuff like that. So if a gap that happens, if it's not a missed block, just a plain missed block, if it's a blocking assignment that goes not your way, that is on you.
Yeah, the A gap was open almost to linebackers almost every play. And if you guys listening don't know what the A gap is, A gap is just lined up right nose on the center, and it's in between the center, like the shoulders of the center. That's the A gaps right there. And that when you have a linebacker that's looking straight down the A gap, and then you have the guard right there that has someone already picked up,
AKA Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, and then you have Ryan Kelly right in the middle, and then he just shifts over with Q or Danny Penner, and he doesn't pick up the block. That's communication right there, and that has to change. I mean, I think three different times the linebacker just came straight through without any block.
The biggest thing though is that if Q goes left and Kelly goes right, you're leaving wide open. But, like, you can't say that's on your offensive line coaching or anything, offensive coordinator coaching. That is on the center. You are a professional. You are the highest paid center in the league right now. You can't be missing blocking assignments every snap of every game.
I mean,
Jonathan Taylor was picking up blocks and actually doing better.
During the game, we had Matt Ryan. He got sacked 5 times, fumbled the ball 2 times.
Seven fumbles in the course of 3 weeks.
Unacceptable. He's not been doing so well. His offensive line hasn't been doing so well. Truly, I think if the Chiefs hadn't had all of their special teams trouble, especially in the beginning of this game, it would have looked so different for the Colts, because that gave them the football within the red zone, so that was how they scored it.
They had short fields most of the game.
Yeah, but listen, special teams is also a part of the team, so it happened how it happened.
No, I understand, but if the Chiefs would have had their special teams go better, I think it would have
been... Like, if Sky Moore wouldn't have muffed that punt at the very beginning, it definitely would have been a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, well, the Colts come home with a win, nonetheless.
Win's a win, yeah, exactly.
Come home with a win. Man, just excited for next week as they take on the Titans in a divisional matchup. That should be a fun game for the Colts.
I'll be there.
You'll be there?
Yep, my last game.
Check that game out. Last game. Sunday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. In Indianapolis, obviously, home game there. I think, now I did say in the season predictor that I think the Titans were going to take this game. Just because it always seems like the Titans split with the Colts and the away team always wins. But statistically, like in years past, I think that, and historically, I think that the Titans are going to win, but how they're performing lately, but also how the Colts have been performing lately.
I like the Colts defense though, way more than I like the Titans offense. The Titans have Derrick Henry, and he's not even Derrick Henry right now. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's not even Jonathan Taylor all the way right now either. So, I mean, but one is performing a lot better than the other. It will be a good matchup. It's going to be a defensive matchup more than anything. See if offense can get better on both sides of the ball or both sides of the field.
Yeah, definitely. We'll just have to see there. But like I said, nonetheless, the Colts get a win. We're going to go to a quick break and come back with a little bit of college football here on Indy's Giant 90.9.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student-athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly,
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. Indy's Giant 90.9. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, your station for variety. But like I said, this is Sports Spotlight. It's sports time for the variety station. And we're going to get right into the college games of Indiana, of the state of Indiana. But we're going to start off with Indiana University. 3-1, finally got handed their first L of the season. Well, not finally, but got handed their first L of the season. 45-24 to Cincinnati. Cincinnati looked overall great. Ben Bryant of Cincinnati went 24 for 40 with 354 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 INT. And Connor Balazek went 31 for 66 with 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So just not overall a great game for Indiana. They played, honestly, flat out, they played a good team.
I mean, that was the big thing we were wondering when we saw that they were going to have Cincinnati. We knew it was going to be a difficult game, so the question was how well would IU play against them? It wasn't exactly the best result, and I think that you hate to lose, but maybe it's a bit of a humbling because when you beat Illinois, Idaho, and Western Kentucky in 3 close games, you even though you were 3-0, it wasn't exactly like you were playing the best of competition. So I think it definitely showed them that they have to work on some stuff.
Yeah, and it was, they beat Illinois. I mean, it wasn't the greatest game of all time. They struggled against Idaho. They struggled against Western Kentucky. And you can't struggle against a team like Cincinnati. I mean, they made the college football playoff last year. Currently unranked, but they did make the playoff last year. Purdue in a nail-biter you could say, against Florida Atlantic. 28-26, Purdue wins. I mean, overall, Austin Burton went 21 for 29, 166 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. Rushing Dylan, I don't know why I said Dylan. Dylan Downing went 15 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown. Receiving was really the big thing there. But Florida Atlantic, not too shabby there. Nicosi Perry of Florida Atlantic went 18 for 30 with 230 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception.
Florida teams did good this last past week, college
except
week.
For Florida. The well, actual
yeah,
Florida.
Well, yeah, but.
No. Yeah.
But, I mean, they did. Tennessee was Tennessee and Florida was Florida. There was a lot of. I don't know if you've seen the banners that Florida was hanging outside the stadiums, but. Or no, Tennessee was. I don't remember, but there was banners that one of the teams. I'm pretty sure it was. Tennessee hanging up banners against Florida, and it was crazy. But it was a great game to watch, though. I was really excited to watch that game.
Yeah, that was a decent game to watch. I didn't get to watch a lot of it, as we did have homecoming that day when they were playing. But Miss Squire, our principal at Ben Davis, who is a Tennessee fan. She was talking a little bit about the game with me for a second. I came into homecoming. I was wearing some shoes that had like some yellowish orangish laces on them. And she's like, "Is this some Tennessee orange I see?" And I was like, "Tennessee, like, you know." She's like, "They're beating the Gators right now." Did you see that one fan who caught the kick?
Yeah,
and threw it back to like the 30. From yeah, like the up
boy,
yeah, that was
sign that man, sign that
yeah,
man.
Right?
XFL, you're coming back. I think
he didn't even have
last chance. You
he didn't even have a step exactly. into it. He was standing on a step and just threw it with his yeah. with his hip and arms. So sign that. If he would have put some power into it and form, he little couple few more yards.
But like he caught the kick too, which
caught
is
it,
crazy.
Caught it naturally too. Like it was just it's meant for him.
Notre Dame defeating North Carolina 45-32. Notre Dame put up a 24 spot in the second quarter and then a 14 in the third quarter. Notre Dame still trying to find their footing. They're 2-0 after they lost to Marshall. Drew Pine went 24 for 34, 280 yards and three touchdowns. And on UNC's side, Drake May went 17 for 32, 301 yards and five touchdowns. So had a lot of the touchdowns there. But Notre Dame travels to Vegas next week to take on BYU. So that should be a fun game. They're wearing
was the Shamrock Series or something?
The Shamrock Series. Yeah, that's what it is. So they should. They might have the Shamrock on their helmet. Sometimes they do for the Shamrock Series. Sometimes they do. It just depends. But those uniforms are nice with the gold arches and everything like that.
All I know is that BYU is a lot better of a team than I thought they were going to be. So I think that will be a fun one. But I'm glad to see North Carolina lose because every single year, North Carolina, there's a lot of people who are like so hyped about them and being like, oh, they're going to be a good team. And that's because they don't take on a lot of good competition to start the year, and now everyone can shut up about North Carolina.
The Ball State Fighting Jackson Whites. Jackson White not too happy with the football team right now. 1-3 on the season after taking a loss to Georgia Southern 34-23. And Georgia Southern is 3-1 right now, but Ball State just trying to find their footing on the season. They'll take on Northern Illinois next week at home. So another home game for Ball State.
So I'm interested to see what can happen there. Northern Illinois, only 1-3 on the year, similar to Ball State. Ball State's only win was at home. Now, they did lose to Western Michigan in a close one, but let's see if the Fighting Jackson Whites can get the win. I'd like to see that happen, and I know Jackson White would too. I mean, this is a team that 2 years ago ended up winning the MAC and ended up, you know, making the bowl game and beating San Jose. And just in 2 years, they've really fallen off. So They have some good players. Carson Steele from Center Grove's at Ball State, and he's still been doing good, but just everyone around him hasn't been doing so hot at Ball State this year. Disappointing if you're a Ball State fan.
Yeah, and one more college football team that I want to talk about. They're not D1, they're not D2, and they're not D3, but they are NAIA. I know it's a smaller school, but Marion University. Shout out to the Knights of Marion. They are undefeated at home, and they are looking really good this year. I know JMV has talked about them a tiny bit on 107.5, and I forgot who the voice of them is, but he always talks about how they're taking on Taylor this upcoming week, but undefeated at home. I believe they've lost one game in the season, but looking really good.
UIndy's looking good, too. They always dominate D2, especially in that Great Lakes Valley Conference, and they've been doing well, too. So it's great to see some of those smaller schools kind of showing the bigger schools who's more successful.
Yeah, and Taylor University not looking too great this year, but they'll find their – hopefully they find their footing. I'm always rooting for Taylor, as that is my dad's alum.
We were talking about last Tuesday or Thursday when we were predicting college games. I don't remember when it was, but we talked about Kent State and Georgia. I know you didn't talk about that because obviously we know the outcome. Georgia won, but Kent State is the only other team besides Alabama to put 20 plus points on Georgia since 2021. Wow. So that was good for them there.
Good for them.
It was a battle until it wasn't.
So. Until it wasn't.
I mean, Kent State's had to play three really top teams out of their first four games.
Just this year, combined points for the other three teams they played were 10, and they put 22 on them. So,
wow. Shout out Kent State.
Yeah, Kent State. Nice job.
Also, Clemson and Wake Forest played a close one that went to double overtime, too, showing that Clemson is still good, but... they aren't perfect in Wake Forest.
FSU, don't tell Jake Query that.
FSU flipped their script, too. They were 0-4 last season. Now they're 4-0. So.
Wow. Good start for FSU.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Florida's doing pretty good, except for Florida.
Ranked Kansas. At this point, they should be at least 25.
Undefeated.
Exactly. Well, College Game Day should have been there for Duke.
For the basketball.
Of course. It would have been a much better one than Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah. But Tennessee, like we said, got that win. But the NBA had their media day today. They have they had media day yesterday. Training camp starts today. The Pacers looking very young out there. Notice how I didn't say the word overall great, but it also didn't use the word bad.
Yeah. Well, there's some hope for this Pacers, apparently. Supposed to be, this is a new era for the Pacers in basketball. That's what tweets were going out from Pacers. So we'll see. We'll see what the Pacers have in stock this year. I like the picks, though. I really do like the picks that for this year. I think it's gonna be a fun year to watch them. I'm still not my favorite team, but you know, I'll still watch them, support them.
I mean, I really don't know what's gonna happen with the Pacers this year. They are young. I'm not going to crown them a major playoff contenders.
NBA champs this
I'm not,
year. 2023 NBA champs.
The Spurs head coach.
I'm not going to do the Colts thing Popovich. And crown them the Super Bowl champs.
Did you hear what he said?
He was like, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but
don't bet on us.
Don't go to Vegas and bet on us. And then they were like, well, why do you keep coaching through a rebuild? He goes, my paycheck.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Greg Popovich. He's being honest. He's being one of the most honest head coaches, one of the most honest coaches.
Who does the Spurs have now? Because Jante Murray's gone.
I completely forgot about the Spurs being a team. I thought,
I mean, they were in the playoffs for so long, and now they're not.
Tim Duncan and
wait.
Not anymore.
I know.
He retired like 50 years ago. No, not really. But
Popovich is a coaching legend.
Yeah. He is.
The Indiana native.
Yeah.
Did you know that the NBA is going to actually have some games on Friday? I know it's preseason, but the Warriors and the Wizards play in Japan.
Wow.
So that means that the NBA is finally back. It's preseason, but still.
It's weird. I don't know why, but I feel like NBA offseason is shorter than NFL.
Well, yeah, their season.
Like, obviously it is, but
You're not cracking heads with the people.
I know, but I'm talking like, it seems so much shorter, than what it should be. I feel like maybe because I really love one way more over the other and anticipate one more over the other. I really look forward to football every year, every time it ends, and I just get upset when it's not on. Basketball, right. I love watching it, but I don't really like look forward to it every day. So I feel like it just goes by a lot faster when it comes to basketball offseason. I'm like, wow, they're already in the championship game? I just watched the playoffs.
Well, their offseason, isn't it like maybe truly 2-3 months, something like that?
They end in October. They end in, they
ended in June.
Yeah, June.
It was like June 6th or something.
And then they come back in October.
So
the beginning of the season starts in about 3 weeks. We're truly about 3 weeks away.
It's about 4 months. Well, about 3 months.
The off season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
We're about 4 weeks away, because they start typically about the 17th through the 20th is when they start this season. But we're
training camps.
It's looming. It is looming over us like a. Can't think of a good analogy. It's like a ball of yarn. Just ready to be cut.
It's ready to be unraveled.
Ready to be unraveled on our heads with Pacers basketball. It's honestly so tough to decide who's going to win the finals this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Pat Bev on the Lakers as well. I'm excited to see Luka play with who did the Mavs picked up somebody, I think, or.
I can't think
of who it was, but Luka's has his new teammate on that he'll do great with. John Morant. I mean, the NBA season is going to be pretty electric and fun too.
I think it'll be fun. But for our last little segment there, that's going to do it for our NBA. For the last little segment, we're going to talk about high school football. Ben Davis getting a big win over Lawrence North. Excuse me. I honestly think it could have been bigger, but they got the win, 34-28. For their homecoming night, Lucas, how did Decatur and Avon do?
So I'm going to start with Avon. Avon lost. That's the only reason I'm starting with Avon, because that's all I have to say about them. They lost.
Avon lost.
Decatur. I want to know anybody that goes to Plainfield how it feels knowing refs are on your side. There was no possible way they called that a touchdown.
Oh, I did see it something.
Was the
like,
clearest pick.
It was
in
an interception.
It was the clearest pick in replay I've ever seen in my life.
You guys have replay?
Yes. Came down with it. No, like after the game.
Oh,
they
like highlight
the video.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but not only that, Decatur's defender came up with the ball, but they still called it. Interception. Touchdown.
At that point, it's an incomplete. The most it could really be is an incomplete pass.
They saw him up there. They saw Plainfield's receiver up there with the DB, and they both had their hands on it. And then as they start coming down, Decatur takes it from him, and you can clearly see that. I'll show you off air. But if you guys want to see the controversial the pick, go to Indy We Out There on Instagram, because
Indy We Out Here.
Yeah, Indy We Out Here on Instagram, because that's where it's at, and you'll see
they post a lot of BD stuff.
Yeah, you'll see the slow motion play, and you judge for this yourself. Everyone in the comments says pick a 32-34 game decided by that touchdown. Should have been Decatur's game though.
Yeah, and Max going over to Monrovia football. We're going to talk a little bit about Monrovia.
Not going so hot right now for the Bulldogs on a four-game losing streak. They lose to Beech Grove at Beech Grove 44-32, and they have Lutheran.
Is Ben Davis the only team that won last week?
Seems like it.
And Sports Spotlight. And then Ben Davis will take on Carmel this Friday. Some random kid. I heard he's a real jerk. I heard this random kid named Owen Pulley's on that call. With Garrett Burkle.
I believe he used to go here last year. I don't really like him that much.
Who, Owen?
Yeah, he's.
I think he transferred to like. He
talks
to like
a lot.
Ball
Garrett's
State University.
Carry him or something.
He transferred to Ball State University.
He's. I mean, I don't know why, but he's just like.
I don't like that kid.
Yeah, he's just tall.
Yeah. But pregame starts at 6:15, kickoff at 7. Like I said, myself, Owen Pulley, and Garrett Burkle on that call. As Ben Davis travels to Carmel, that should be a good game. But Ben Davis and Ben Davis, Max, I know we can have a little conversation about this, but you were doing the broadcast. I was in the stands for my first game. You know, you watched more of the game than I did. Normally I watch the game, but this time I was really cheering and stuff like that. But special teams was kind of a problem there. A couple blocked punt, or not blocked punts, excuse me. There was a blocked punt, but two blocked extra points or field goals.
I love doing that.
Not really low snaps, though. Not really anything bad there. Gavin Lamb did a pretty good job at long snapper. But
I think that was one of the things that when I was going through the stats, that seems like that was something that Ellen was going to be very good at, and obviously Ben Davis had nothing for that. It was a win. That was good, but that's really about it. It wasn't a perfect. I don't think it should have been that close. I don't think their players think that it should have been that close, and Carmel's going to be very difficult, so they need to play much better against Carmel than they did against Ellen.
I think they got it, though.
Yeah.
I do think they have it.
You can listen more tonight, a more in-depth conversation with Coach Jason Simmons, coach of the Giants, head coach of the Giants, on Inside Managed Football at 7 p.m. From 7 p.m. to 7:30, I host that show alongside John Easter is on that show as well, and high school sports expert Jeff Robison is on that one, too. So you can listen to that at 7 p.m., if you want to request a song, we have DJ Trey coming in for his EDM show. So if you want some EDM after this, after a couple songs are played, you'll be able to listen to that. But if you want to request a song, 317-244-9234. That's 317-244-WBDG.
By the way, one thing before we go, you talked about the NFL, and I just now remembered this. Did you guys see what's happening with the Pro Bowl?
Oh, the Pro Bowl. I did see that.
Skills competition instead.
It's glad like you brought that up.
The Pro Bowl Pro Week.
Yeah, skills competition for a week in flag football.
I think that's just so much better.
Exactly. I think it's so much better as well because, first of all, Pro Bowl used to be contact, and then it started easing its way to light contact, little contact, two-hand touch, no contact. So, and everyone just was like, all right, I don't want to watch this anymore. So now the skills competition is what really everyone watched anyway, like the dodgeball, all the tug of war. Like, so I think that's going to be fun. And then the flag football is really fun as well.
It's just going to be awesome. I'm hoping they can have some stuff. I know some linemen were talking about it on Twitter, but I just want to make sure that they can have some stuff there too.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure they get appreciated.
They're going to have like a pancake eat off or something.
Something like that.
I'm already calling it like pancake eat off.
The 10 yard dash.
10 yard dash.
And then they'll like read them off and it'll be like 4.8, 4.0. Or you get like some guys who run like a 4 flat and then like.
On a 10 yard dash.
Yeah. Maybe a 20 yard dash will get fours.
Yeah.
No. They don't run 8 second 40s. They're actually really quick.
Yeah, they're actually pretty quick. 5 point or 6.
I ran like a 5.5. So those guys are running like five flats.
A 10 yard dash, a 5.5.
No, 40 yard.
Okay,
40.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I ran a 40, but yeah, it wasn't probably.
But that's gotta
that
be so
quick.
Scary seeing a big dude 300 pounds moving at some speed like that coming right
some
at
crazy
you.
Crazy speed running at yeah. you. But if you want to follow us on social media, WBDG Indy at WBDG Indy and. You can't do it on our TikTok. You won't find any WBDG Indy, but you will find Giant90.9. It's Giant90.9. It's a period 9 on TikTok. You can watch our stuff. A lot of our stuff is posted on all three platforms the same on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, but our TikTok is a little bit less serious, you know. Our Twitter's pretty serious. Our Instagram and Twitter or TikTok kind of go hand in hand, but our TikTok is pretty funny. You should go check that out. Again, Giant90.9, and Instagram and everything else, WBDG Indy. But that is the Sports Spotlight. That has been the Sports Spotlight. My name is Owen Pulley, Max Gilley, and Lucas McKee, Indy's Giant 90.9. Thank you for listening.